Prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, starting at verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Now, would you turn with me, please, to the New Testament, a scripture in John chapter 9. John's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 10. They said, therefore, to him, how have thine eyes been opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made mud and anointed mine eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. And having gone and washed, I saw. They say therefore to him, where is he? He says, I do not know. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 8. Having been found in figure as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient, even unto death, and that the death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, granted him a name, that which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of heavenly and earthly and infernal beings, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. It won't be hard for you to see, but tonight I want to speak about the name of Jesus. It's a name that I know is very precious to many that are here this evening, and I don't need to tell you that it's precious to me. Young ones in the room tonight will have heard the name of Jesus too. And I want to just ask you simply, is that name precious to you? Maybe precious to mother and father. Maybe precious to those you know. What does it mean to you? This name of Jesus. Sometimes, you know, I look forward to what it will be in the day to come. People speak a lot, don't they, about going to heaven, usually when they die. But many of them have no idea what heaven's like. They think of it as a place where there won't be any suffering and there won't be any pain and everybody will be happy there. But they don't realise that the reason why these things will be so is because somebody's going to be there who's made it all possible. And what they often don't realise is that they actually won't be there at all unless they know this person who's made everything possible. They may have lived a religious life. They may have gone to church. They may even have gone to meetings. But if they didn't know the Saviour, they won't be there. It's a solemn thing, isn't it? But that's the way God has ordered it. And it was the only way he could. Because he's righteous. And he's holy. And there won't be any unrighteousness in heaven. There won't be any unholiness there. Sure, there couldn't be. The God who is himself the righteous God and the holy God, could he dwell amidst an unholy company in eternity? Why, you know, that's not possible at all. And yet, if you and I were to be there, without knowing this person called Jesus, we'd bring into heaven what's unholy and what's untrue and what's unrighteous. So it just wouldn't be possible for us to be there. We'd stand before God and we'd stand in our sins. And God would have to say to us, you went to that gospel meeting in Belfast Community Centre in the end of September 2018. And you heard the name of Jesus. And you never answered to it. And I preach the gospel like this because even though I know most, almost all, that are here, yet there's only one who knows your heart. And that's God Himself. I may have had conversations with you about the Lord Jesus. I may have shared with you something of my impressions of the wonder of His love. But I don't know for sure whether you're saved. Whether you've put your trust in this one who was sent of God. That whosoever believeth on Him might not perish, but might have everlasting life. But there's a God who knows your heart. You can't hide anything from God. Many things you might like to. As I look back in my history, there's many things I wish I could hide. But God knows them all. That's why I'm so thankful for a man called Jesus. Because I know that by trusting in Him and in His precious work, by trusting in what He did for me at Calvary, when He went that suffering way and was crucified there by wicked men and slain, and when He shed His precious blood upon the cross, He shed His blood for me. That's why that hymn says, precious, precious blood of Jesus. It's precious because of what it's done. It's washed my sins away. And it's washed away the sins of everyone who's come in true repentance to God, owning their sins. And tonight the gospel goes out, not just for you to think about it, not just for you to assent that, yes, it's a lovely story, isn't it? But God commands all men everywhere to repent. That's what He commands. Will you answer to God's command tonight? Tonight He commands and He appeals that you might have to do with this wonderful Saviour, and that you might know what it is for every sin to be completely washed away in His precious blood. And that's what God offers you tonight. It's full and free offer of salvation. It's open to all. It's open to whosoever will. It's open to those with a history that's as black as it could possibly be. It's open to those who've come to meetings for years and years and have never come to Christ. The truth of the gospel is this, that there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But if you're not in Christ Jesus, you stand condemned tonight. Because the one who died at the cross has met every righteous requirement of God and has opened the way of salvation for you so that you're left inexcusable. There's no excuse. You think of the coming day when you'll stand before a holy God. What excuses will you have as to why you didn't accept the gospel? And it was preached for your salvation. When you knew that every sin could be completely washed away in his precious blood. I fear for men who stand before the judgment day of God, before that great white throne. Dear friend, I thank God that I won't be there. I hope there'll be nobody in this room tonight that will be there. Persons who have refused the offer of salvation. Persons who have thought they could put it off until tomorrow. All the while realizing the truth of the fact that there may be no tomorrow shall dawn on you or me. Persons who were prepared to trifle with God and to risk the peril of a lost eternity. Friend, there will be such. I hope you won't be in their company at the great white throne. But what I know is this, that tonight there is a way of salvation. And it's open to you. And there's a God who knows your heart. And he knows everything that's happened in your life, good or bad. Not only does he know the things you've done, he knows the things you've said. Those words that were said that never should have been. Those words said on the spur of the moment, where perhaps you were angry, or perhaps when you had bitter thoughts. Things that you said, God heard them, maybe no one else did. And even this, and let me remind you, even an evil thought, he knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. That's the God with whom you have to do. And the question is, when will you have to do with him? There is no question that you will have to do with him. Whether you have to do with him today, or whether you put it off, or whether you have to do with him when you stand before the great white throne, is a matter for you. But tonight there is an opportunity for you to come to Christ and own him as your personal saviour. There's an opportunity for you to avoid the hell of the future by a heaven with Christ, the saviour of sinners. There's an opportunity for you to come by trusting in him and owning him as the one who is able to lead. Every sin you've ever committed, ever said, ever thought. And more than this, not only is able to save you from your sins, but he says, I'll never remember them anymore. I think that's incredible. I think it's wonderful. That the God who knows me through and through is prepared to accept me into my eternal home without even the remembrance of my sins. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more but forever. And he's prepared to do it on a righteous basis. It's not that he'll just write off the debt and say, well, let's just be friends and we'll forget it.
No, the precious blood of Jesus has established a basis upon which he can come out in the fullness of his love to the sinner tonight. And in the fullness of his love, he can set aside every sin. And you know why? It's because when Jesus died at Calvary's cross, he laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Oh, I thank God for what he's done for me. And he's done it for you if you'll trust him. You know, the New Testament is full of what Jesus has done. But if you go back to this prophecy that I started with in Isaiah, what you'll find there is in chapter 53, that Isaiah had the foresight from God that our iniquities would be laid upon him, the one who is despised and rejected of men. But he says, their iniquities laid upon him. Friend, tonight, I ask you to accept Jesus as your Saviour because you need to. I say to you, don't trifle with life and death. I say to you, don't put off, because you don't know when the door of mercy may close. It's going to close soon. Now I know. I can't give you a date. I don't know when it's going to close for you, nor for me. But what I know is on the authority of God's word, that a day is coming when there's going to be an archangel's voice and a trump of God. And that same man, who is my Saviour, is going to come and take me to be with him. And from that moment on, the gospel will not be preached as it's known today. You won't be able to just walk in on the Lord's Day evening and hear the gospel. Halls that you've seen and perhaps you've been into and out of, and you've heard the message and you know the story, why, you could preach it like a preacher. But have you known the Saviour? Have you trusted Jesus? Have you asked him to wash your sins away? Have you known what it is to come to him in true repentance and faith and say simply to God, I'm a sinner. I want a Saviour. I need a Saviour. Because there's a Saviour that he's provided. And as Isaiah tells us in the section that I read, his name is Wonderful. Now that's his name. Isaiah tells us. But is he wonderful to you? Well, surely he is. If your sins are washed away. Surely he is. If you look at the cross and you see how he suffered, and he suffered for you. Do you know how much he suffered there? No, you'll never know. Do you know how much he felt it when he suffered for your sins? No, I'll never know that. Do you know the depths to which he went when he met the righteous requirements of God, when every aspect of God's holiness was dealt with on a righteous basis at Calvary? Do you know? No. You don't. But what I know is this, that God is prepared to come out in full and free forgiveness towards me, the sinner, just because of what Jesus has done. And I know that every sin has completely gone. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a little story there about two goats. And one was killed and its blood was shed. And one was set free. And the man who held the goat, he put the sins of the people, as it were, upon the head of the goat. And the goat was sent away into a land apart from men, where sins can be never remembered anymore.
And I know that my sins are gone. They're gone completely. I won't be in heaven speaking to persons about the sins that I've committed when I was here. Because they'll be forgotten. They'll be gone forever from before the sight of a holy God. And tonight I present this to you because you must know this Saviour too. And if you're not quite sure, you can make sure tonight. If you've been to meetings and gospel preachings time and time again, and you've enjoyed the message, but you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, tonight, you can do so. And you need to do so. You need to make sure that not only Isaiah has an appreciation of him as wonderful, but you need it too. I can remember years ago, when I was as young as some of the little ones here today, that I used to sit and listen to the gospel meeting, and I used to quite enjoy it, sometimes anyway. But you know, it didn't dawn in upon my heart that I was a sinner and needed a Savior. Been brought up in a Christian household, a privilege for which I've always been thankful. But as I look back, I realise that in my early years I knew about the Saviour, but I didn't know him. But the time came when God awakened my heart to the fact that I was as much a sinner as anybody. And as I've got older, I realise that more and more. And that's why I praise my Saviour more and more. Because as I go on, I realise the debt that I owe to him who shed his blood. The immensity of what he's done. The fullness of it. The completeness of it. You think of that declaration there upon the cross. It is finished. Oh, the wonder of that cry. And tonight, he comes out in full forgiveness, freely, to whosoever will, and that includes you. There's no escape from the gospel, you know. Each one of us is sinners. Scripture tells us there's not one without sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's not one righteous. Then, as though to make quite sure you understand that, the scripture says, no, not one. Not even you. No matter how good you've been, no matter how many good things you've done in your pathway, there's not one righteous. No, not one. But here in the scriptures we have a man called Jesus. And he was righteous. He did everything perfectly according to the will of God. In fact, he was wonderful. He was here as the perfect expression of God's love to men. He was the Saviour of sinners. Isaiah wrote about him 700 years before he came. And how true it was when Jesus came into this scene as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. They called his name Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And then in that suffering pathway, as we read in John 9, we find a man who was blind from birth. His eyes were opened and he saw the glory of the Lord, the Saviour, who was able to meet his need. But some doubted. Some didn't want to accept the Saviour. Some queried whether it was him or not that had his eyes opened. And they say, how have thine eyes been opened? And he answered and said, a man called Jesus. A man called Jesus is appealing to your heart tonight. He's not here upon this earth. He's exalted at God's right hand in heaven. But he wants to have to do with you. And I say to you, whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're unsaved, whether you're not sure, I say to you tonight that this man called Jesus wants to have to do with you because he knows you need him. And I would appeal to you tonight just to answer in simple faith to the appeal of the gospel and have to do with this wonderful Saviour. And do you know, it brings such assurance and peace into your heart. It brings joy into your heart. It brings confidence that nothing else can give, because you've got a link with a man that can never be broken. The work established at Calvary can never be retracted. It stands firm and sure for eternity. It's a firm foundation upon which we stand. The work that Christ has done and the ground that he has won. And it's there for you. There's nothing firm and sure in this world's systems, is there? But there's something firm and sure in the world that God has opened up to you through Jesus. And it's for you just to reach out your hand and take it to that. You know, when Peter was sinking in the waters of the Sea of Galilee, he stretched out his hand. What were the words that he said? Lord, save me. Anyone here prepared tonight to say those words in their heart? Lord, save me. And what happened? Jesus stretched out his hand and he took hold of Peter. And he's prepared tonight to stretch out his hand again. Will you let him do it? Will you answer to his call? Will you let him be your wonderful Saviour? Do you want to know what it is for your sins to be washed away? He's able and he's willing. And as the old hymn says, God waits in grace with hands outstretched to bless. It's glad news from him. But now I ask this man, where is he? And he says, I do not know. Well, where is he? This man who suffered at Calvary. This man who shed his precious blood to wash your sins away. Where is he? Do you know where he is? Well, you say, the Bible tells us he's in heaven. Yes, it does. The Bible tells us he ascended. But do you know he's in heaven? Are you sure? Let's come to Philippians. What do we find? If there's a man who humbled himself, becoming obedient, even unto death, and that the death of the cross, wherefore God has highly exalted him. Why has he done it? He's granted him a name that which is above every name. He's done it because he's worthy of it. He's exalted him at his right hand in heaven. And do you know this? He's there tonight. Not only that, but the scripture tells us that he lives to intercede for you and me.
You think that there's a man who died on Calvary's cross, who was raised by the glory of the Father, who's ascended up to heaven, the Saviour of sinners, and he lives tonight in heaven at God's right hand. And tonight, he's waiting to save you. Not the person next to you, but you. He knows you by name. That's scriptural too. He knows your name. Day is coming, you know, when names will be in heaven. The book of life of the Lamb will be opened. Will your name be there? You think of those lists of names, you know. I remember when I was at school many years ago and you had the attendance read out and you had to answer to say you were there. I don't suppose it happens now, but you still. Because my name begins with W, I was always right here. But I knew my name was going to be called. Doesn't matter where you are in the book of life of the Lamb, if your name is there. Doesn't matter what letter it begins with. You'll be secured by the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, but think of those whose names aren't there. Those that I spoke of at the beginning. Those who will stand before that great white throne. Do you know, even then, the book of the life of the Lamb will be opened. As though God would say, just to make absolutely sure, there's no mistake whatsoever. Everyone who's trusted in Christ, their name will be written in indelible ink in the book of life of the Lamb. Is your name there? God knows our names. The God who is a God who is from and to eternity knows your name. He stooped so low. He's come so near. And tonight, the message of salvation is preached for your acceptance. That you might make quite sure that he's your Saviour and that when he comes for those who love him, you're going to be there. Will you be there? There is no question if you're trusting in him. You need have no doubts and no fears. You need have no worries that God will make any mistake or that the precious blood of Jesus will not be sufficient to cover those awful sins of yours. No. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. Every sin. What peace it brings, and what assurance to know that this wonderful Saviour has done everything. But a day is coming, you know, when at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Of heavenly, and earthly, and then, wait for this, infernal beings. All will bow to Jesus. All will acknowledge him as Lord and King. But tonight, you can acknowledge him as Savior. And that's why I preach the gospel. That's what I want you to do tonight. You've never done it before. I want you to acknowledge him as your Savior. You're not too young and you're not too old. The message of salvation is available to you. And then you can be amongst those who confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to God the Father's glory. Well, may the gospel message just touch our hearts. May there be blessing from it for his name's sake.
Amen. Thank you.